had something on my heart tonight, and I wanted to start by asking you this question, and it all leads to being filled with the Holy Spirit in one way or another. How many of you have ever gone through a trial? Would you be brave enough to raise your hand? Come on, go ahead. How many of you have been through a trial? Big or small, we're not going to compare them tonight. All right? See, that's nice that I'm not alone. I just had to ask that. I need a little encouragement tonight, and I appreciate it. Thank you. Now, look. We go through trials. You know, the world goes through trials, too. They have their difficulties. They survive them. But I wanted to read something the Apostle Paul wrote here by the Holy Spirit. I remember coming across this. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Many of you know this. He says in 17 of chapter 4, he says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Did you get that? Does it feel that way? Does it feel like God's doing a great work in me when you're going through a trial? It doesn't always feel that way. And the way some of some saints act, it doesn't look that way either, right? But look at what the Apostle Paul says here. He says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, in comparison to everything, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Now, that's a wonderful truth. That's a wonderful truth to, you know, God has to write that across your heart, because if it's just in your head, the trial will erase it. I don't know, maybe someone here is going through a trial, maybe a difficulty at home, maybe you're in a storm, and, you know, the boat's rocking on you. And you're saying to yourself, "I don't know what God's working at," and it's nice to know that He's working on something that's has a great eternal weight, but I need help right now. Well, I found something in reading the Gospels over and over again, that Jesus liked to put His disciples in storms. He liked to put them in trials. And you know what I found out? That the disciples, very often, I'm not saying all the time, but the disciples very often learned more about Jesus through a storm than they did in a prayer meeting. They learned more about Christ and who He was than when He performed some of the miracles by being in a trial. Last week when I was here, I talked a little bit about how when He was in the boat sleeping, and He said, "Go to the other side." And they met that storm in the middle of the sea, and you know the story, and how, they thought they were going to perish, and they got up, and they said, they got Jesus up and said, "Don't you even care that we're going to perish?" And He stopped that storm. You know, it was, they learned something. In fact, their fear of the storm transitioned into their fear of the man that stopped the storm. I'd like us to look tonight at another time in Matthew, when Jesus put them in a trial. And it wasn't necessarily, I don't know if it says storm, but it definitely was a trial. And it's in Matthew chapter 14. I'm going to read the story to us. It's from Matthew 14, verses 22 through 33. I'm reading from the New King James Version. It doesn't have pictures either, Brother Tom. It has maps, but I can never fully understand the maps. Well, we read this about this event that's recorded. And you have to look at this, that the Holy Spirit saw fit to see that these events, not only just the miracles, but these events that Jesus put His disciples in were recorded. Why? I believe that we could glean from them, learn from them, learn from the responses of the disciples, and learn something about God's perspective on trials. We read this. "Immediately, Jesus made His disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side. And while he sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up on a mountain by Himself to pray. Now when evening came, He was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. 25. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Imagine that. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." In verse 24, we see the perfect storm. We see the perfect trial. Take a look at this. It says there, "But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary." But there's a fourth thing here. There was no evidence of Jesus being in the boat. Let's take a look at this anatomy of this trial. Number one, it says that they were in the middle of that lake. What is the middle of the lake? The middle of the lake is being furthest from either shore. And you know, sometimes a trial feels like that. You know, in Nehemiah, when they were rebuilding those walls, you know when the men got weary? When the wall was halfway high. It's always in the middle when we run out of steam. The middle of the lake when your security is gone. When you're weary, when you're worn, that's when the enemy likes to attack us the most. That's when these disciples were under attack. It was in the middle of that of the lake. How about the next thing? Tossed by waves. There used to be a song. When I heard it, I said, "Boy, that is so true." Does anyone know where the love of God goes when the waves turn the minutes to hours? Sometimes when you're in a trial, the waves turn the minutes to hours. And you're like, "How long is this going to last? And God, how much do you think I can take of this?" And the third part of this whole trial is this. The winds are contrary. If you ever rented a canoe here and gone out by yourself, and you're sitting in the back, you know, that's tough when the wind starts blowing. Because the front just keeps going, you know, just go this way. You row and you row and you row. It's rough when the winds are contrary. In a trial, it seems like everything's against you. If that's what Jacob said. Everything's against me. So you have here, you're in the middle. You're the furthest from either shore. Feels that way sometimes. Secondly, you're tossed by waves. It's a little bit rough when you get a mouth full of salt water. When you're in a storm and it's just hitting you from every side. Thirdly, everything seems to be against you. You try to lift your head, you get a little encouragement, you get a face full of seawater, right? But there's one last thing Jesus had his disciples experience. Yes, again, they were in the middle. Yes, tossed waves. Yes, contrary winds. But this time, in this storm, there was no physical evidence of Jesus. He taught them last time that he was in the boat, and they should have recognized that. He was sleeping in the stern of the boat. This time, there was no physical evidence of Jesus. Have you ever been in a trial where it felt like, "Jesus, where are you? Am I alone here?" "Oh, Brother Keith, you need to have a greater experience, because I always felt Jesus was with me." Is that what you're thinking? Let's trade places then. Listen. Gone through some of these older saints could put me to shame. I have no doubt. And I've been through things, obviously. But I've been through a few things too. And I know something that I've experienced. I've experienced being in the middle, where the shore is the furthest thing from me. And I'm not so sure I could get to either side. I know what it's like to have waves think my boat is going to sink. I know about contrary winds. And yes, I know of a trial where I felt, Jesus, I don't even see you. You're not even here. You put me out here on my own. And if you felt that way, then you know what I'm talking about. Because that's just how the disciples felt. He's not even here this time. What are we going to do? If he were here, if I sensed he were here, if he were sleeping like last time, I'd wake him up and we'd be okay. I wouldn't accuse him of not caring. I would say, Lord, you can do something about this. But this time, Jesus was nowhere in sight. There's trials like that. But here's the thing. God never puts us in a boat to watch us sink. He never puts us in a trial to destroy us. It's a lie of the enemy. Our emotions lie to us. Our feelings lie to us. And you know, that's why we need the Holy Spirit. Because I don't know about you, but boy, when my feelings rise up, they're strong. When my emotions go overboard, they're soaked. But since I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I find a power in me. I find a messenger in me that says, look up. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I don't shake, quiver, jump out of my skin, run from one end of the boat to the other screaming, help. Still do all that. But I know Jesus is with me. And I want to point out two parts of this storm tonight, before we leave here. Two parts of this storm that might give us a revelation next time, or if you're in a trial. And it's God's part and our part. And the first thing we see here is three insights to God's view of a trial. And I take it from Jesus' reaction here. What were the three things? Well, Mark kind of breaks it down for us, Mark 6:48. You know what he says? Three things. He says, it tells us that Jesus, when he was up on that mountain, number one, it says, then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now, I looked at this and I said, you know, I can count on something that God, no matter what I'm going through, sees me. No matter what I think, feel, or others say. Jesus sees me. You know, he wasn't in the boat this time. He was way off on a mountain, but he saw that the winds were against them. And so I wrote that in my day book. No matter what I go through, God, no matter how I feel, no matter what my emotions tell me, you do see me and you know the details of my trial. But that's a good way to start. Like Psalm 3 says, he's the lifter of our upper of our heads. Always think of Jehoshaphat's prayer when he was attacked by all those nations. His simple prayer was this. He said, I have no power. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. That's a good place to start, right?
Yes, it is.
So, number one, we see that we can be guaranteed that Jesus sees us like he saw his disciples. The second thing it says, that Jesus went to them walking on the water. If you're in a trial, I took it as this. If I'm in a trial, if I'm going through it, I can be guaranteed Jesus is heading my way. Now, that's simple. You might say, well, you're reading into that. But I don't believe that. I see this as if Jesus put them in a boat and he put them through this whole thing, maybe he wants them to learn three things. That he always sees them, and that if they're going through a tough time, he's going to be heading right for them. Wouldn't that build your faith next time you're going through it to say, Lord, you're heading my way. If you have to walk on water, you're going to get to me. The third thing is this. And the most wonderful thing. It says there in Mark that Jesus spoke to them saying, and also in Matthew, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. When you're going through a trial, get ready for the word. Countless times, as a young person, I was going through something, and I went to our midweek in Kingsburg, it was Thursday night, Bible study. I was sometimes bored to tears. Sorry. It wasn't the teacher's fault, just wasn't interested. But I would be thinking about school, thinking about what I was going through. And you know, I'd lift my head for a moment and there was a word for me. What a difference when God gives you a word. What a difference. The whole trial is different when the word comes to you. And Jesus came to his disciples, and he had a word for them. Be of good cheer. It says there, Jesus spoke to them. So three things you're absolutely guaranteed in a trial. And I took the Lord up on this. I said, Lord, I'm taking this as a guarantee. Three things. Lord, that you see me, you're coming to me. And thirdly, you're going to give me a word to encourage me. You're going to help me. What a difference that is. But I also saw something too. That's the Lord's part, guaranteed. What's our part? Did you ever wonder what you should do in a trial? Other than help, scream, cry, pull your hair out, yell at the kids. You know? Right?
That's a given.
Well, that's a given. And it feels good too. I see in Peter's reaction some really good things for us to do. And, you know, if you have a pen, you might want to write them down, because you won't remember them. It is found in the Word of God. But it's always good to write these things down, because I found them helpful to me. Look at Peter. Five faith reactions that Peter took in a trial, in this storm. Number one, he saw Jesus in the storm. That's not easy. To say, Lord, I see you. It's so important that the Holy Spirit trains us to see Jesus and say, okay, Lord, this really stinks. I hate this. I think this is killing me. I don't see how you're going to work this out. I don't see how it could glorify your name. I don't see how this is benefiting me. I don't see how this is doing me any good, but I see Jesus. I do see you. The second thing Peter did was this. He responded to what Jesus told him. He said, Lord, if that's you, then you tell me to come to you. Because Peter had learned this, that if Jesus said it, he would back. If Jesus gave a command, he would give the authority to fulfill that command. Jesus said, come. And Peter reacted. When we're going through a trial, that's the time when we need to respond to God's word more than ever. Not just sink into ourselves, get into that fetal position, you know, pull the cover over. It's time to say, Lord, you speak and I'm going to obey. I'm going to react. What's the third thing? He refused to be intimidated by his surroundings. This is so important too. You know? As long as we live, there's going to be situations and circumstances. And we have to move by the Holy Spirit to saying, wow, that's a situation, or that's a circumstance, but that's the Lord. And if you let circumstances and situations, if you allow them, they'll dictate to your heart that they're greater than God. Isn't that the whole fight? That the situation is greater? That God can't handle that circumstance? Peter, he first stepped out, he said, you know what? God, he said, Jesus is here, and he's greater than these waves. He's greater than this wind. We need to have that too. Here's the fourth thing he did. He did what the others in the boat were afraid to do. He moved out of the comfort zone. See, there's always going to be saints, those who maybe even seem more spiritual than you, that are going to stay in the boat. And when it comes time for a trial, I like what Peter did. He said, I'm stepping out. I'm going to go to you, Lord. And you've got to be willing to go beyond what the others in the boat are doing. Here's the last thing. I like this. This is what Peter did in this time of trial. He chose what was possible instead of staying in what was rational. Now, the rational would be to stay in the boat, right? Good common sense makes sense, right? Logical. Peter, at this time, he says, all right, if that's Jesus, and he tells me to come to him, then I'm going to go to him, because he said, Jesus can make things possible. And I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. I'm not going to stick with just the rational. You know, we were speaking earlier about being filled with the Holy Spirit. What's so wonderful about being filled with the Holy Spirit? You begin to experience God's supernatural. and you stop getting out of the trial by the natural way. You know? Sometimes the natural just, it doesn't work, right? But when we say, Lord, I'm going to believe for what's possible and I'm going to forsake the rational, and you're able to work, we see God do astounding things. And we all like that, right? We all love when God works that way. We need to do some of these things and let God work. Absolutely. Well, let's believe the Lord to do that tonight in closing. Maybe there's someone here and you're going through a time where you're saying, you know what? Maybe at home, there's contrary winds blowing. Well, I hope the Holy Spirit will help you react like Peter did. And watch God give you a greater revelation of himself that perhaps he couldn't give you in any other time. Let's stand together. Let's sing number 438.
Oh, dear Jesus. Thank you, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, oh God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you. We thank you, Father, you never work aimlessly in our lives. Thank you, Lord God, that you, as with your disciples, still teach us today. And Lord, these things, we don't look forward to them. But you know that in them, you bring a greater revelation of yourself. We pray for anyone here that might be going through a trial, Lord, yes, great or small,
yes,
that they'll be assured that,
God,
Lord, you'll triumph. And that your great aim is to get us to the other side.
Hallelujah.
And that we might know you in a greater way, that our faith might be built up, that you might fill us even more with your Holy Spirit. We pray, God, you'll encourage them. We pray, Lord Jesus, for all who have been through trials. They'll count them, Lord, as just a greater weight of glory that you're working on. We thank you for it. Thank you for this evening. We pray, Lord, for those who'll be leaving early in the morning, you'll bless them and watch over them as they travel. Those who'll be joining us, we pray for your hand upon these as well. And we thank you for this night. We pray you'll bless the staff as they meet, Lord, in their time. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.